It's 13 minutes after the hour 4. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. And on DSTV, it's 870. And www.radioveritas.co.za on the web. Joining me this afternoon is Dr. Charles. Dr. Charles, good afternoon and welcome.
Afternoon, Father Brian.
Off air, we were talking about your story. You were sharing with me with me and Tiso what recently happened to you.
Yes.
A very sad story, and I would like us to share that story with our listeners. You were recently... not attacked, but people came into your house, eh?
Yes, yes.
Just tell us the story.
It was actually just before 3, and my little boy just said, let's pray the divine mercy, which came as quite a surprise, because he normally doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, let's pray. And the three of us, the three little kids, my 8-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, we started... praying the divine mercy. My wife was in the room because she was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 minutes into it, so these four guys just came running into our house. They came through the door.
No.
And said, get on the floor, get in there, pushing me and everything, you know. And eventually I just, first I like said, okay, do what you want, take what you want. And then they started getting a bit pushy and they
aggro,
were, they had like, looked like they had guns in their under their shirts, mm-hmm. and that, you know. So the guy pushed me on the floor, and then my daughter started calling mommy.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys tried to put his hand on her mouth.
Yeah.
And then I just stood up and I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my house. And I said, go, demon, go. And I was looking at each one of them, and they just suddenly became like little mice. And they just looked, and I just commanded them, and then they went. Where I pointed, they went.
It's amazing.
They scampered off.
It's amazing. Very profound experience how the power and the name of
Jesus.
Christ has. Hey?
Yeah. And it was like something was very clear. You're in prayer. Don't be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Get up. Be bold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
And you called them. You called them. Get out, you demon.
I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Go, demon, go. Because I know there's always a demon attached with the individuals when they're doing that evil, you know?
Which brings us to today's topic, actually. And this afternoon, we're going to be talking about possession. We're going to be talking about being possessed and about demons.
Yes.
Take us through that. What does it mean to be possessed? What is it? What is it?
Okay, so... Look, there's two types of, let's put it this way, whenever we sin, mm-hmm. we invite evil into our lives.
Okay.
So when we, whatever the sin is, that evil spirit that specializes in that sin that managed to tempt you to do that that evil act, whatever it is, whether it's in your mind or whatever you did, it gets closer.
Mm.
It doesn't mean he's in you, but if you persist in that, so his voice gets louder in your mind, and he'll say, do it again, you know, over time.
Mm-hmm.
As you persist and you're not sorry and you don't repent and you don't take it to confession, eventually that spirit will get in you, and then it becomes a possession. Like, for example, someone who's addicted to drugs.
Mm.
He has that spirit of addiction in him.
Mm.
And that these evil spirits, they are specialists. That is what they focus on, that particular sin. It's usually low-ranking demons that, and as the person becomes more and more evil, so they invite more evil spirits in, and eventually the high-ranking demons come, and then you hear of the someone being possessed by the devil. That's usually
so. The there's a hierarchy. Stage. There's a hierarchy of demons. Then
that's right. Yes.
What? Give us the hierarchy.
Look, I don't know the exact, but it's. They say there's different categories. I was speaking to Father Colin. He says I think there's 50 categories that specialize in different things,
mm-hmm.
but whatever the sin is, there's a specialist in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are obviously rankings and hierarchies and principalities within the demonic kingdom. And the more wicked ones, the more wicked you become, the more wicked the demons that come. Like, for example, when Judas sold out Jesus,
mm-hmm.
if you see in the scriptures there, it said, and then Satan entered him.
Mm.
That was the final stage of possession in that scenario. He already had demons in him.
Yes.
Because, you know what I mean? He was pulling moves here and there, and he was being dishonest and, you know.
So what you're saying to me, Dr. Charles, is we literally open the door and say, there's space for you, come make a house in me.
That's right. So we either invite the Holy Spirit in through God's love,
mm-hmm.
by being obedient to God's call and
exactly.
following his commandments,
mm-hmm.
or... we break any one of those, we're inviting evil spirits in.
Mm.
And then it becomes a bit of a struggle, because now you've got the evil with the Holy Spirit, and who hurts in between? It's Jesus. Jesus takes the pain.
So there's like a conflict between the good, the
and
holy,
the bad.
Yeah, the holy and the evil.
That's right. It's spiritual warfare. You know, like they were kicked out. Saint Michael kicked them out of heaven. They were in heaven before. They were in God's favor, but then they decided to go against him because of arrogance and vanity and jealousy, actually. Because
apparently he was the lead choir master in heaven, and he had a big head, and he wanted to lead instead of being led. And as you say, arrogancy and all those things that you've mentioned. And then God decided, look, I've just had this with you. You get out, and you're out.
That's right. And he had, you see, one of his gifts was the ability to influence. And he decided to abuse that gift and use it against God's way. And that's why he can still influence us now, because he knew God wouldn't take the gift away. But God kicked him out of his house. You know what I'm saying? But there was obviously some sort of an arrogant challenge to God. I'll get more guys than you. You can just imagine it. And he knew God would only fight with divine love. That is what he's doing. He's sacrificing himself. He's for us. He's drawing us by his love. He's not fighting the way the evil fights.
When you talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us that you will know them by
their fruits. 100%. Exactly. So what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Peace, love, calm, joy, gentleness, kindness, self-control, modesty, chastity, kindness. I'm leaving a few out. There's 12 fruits. Generosity, all those peace and calm. And obviously the gifts of the Holy Spirit are understanding, wisdom, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, all of that.
Yeah.
Fear of the Lord. The evil, it's the opposite.
Exactly. This is what I was coming
at. If you've got the spirit of joy, which comes from the Holy Spirit, we should all have joy in us. Doesn't matter what cross we're carrying. What's the opposite is depression and anxiety. Okay.
So
it's a spiritual affliction.
So if somebody is listening to us right now who is in depression, who is going through unhappiness and sadness in their life, what we are saying to them this afternoon is, let's discern the spirit, and perhaps, and most likely, it's a spirit that's not coming from God.
Yes, and I'm trying to what I'm saying is, it doesn't mean it's in you, it's around you, it's oppressing you. You know what I mean? And just like if somebody is unchaste, they don't have that spirit of chastity in them. They've got spirits of lust and all these other variants of it in them. If somebody is angry, they don't have the spirit of peace and calm in them. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I get
it. So it's normally when people come for healing, you show them I'll show them a table with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and then I'll show the opposites. And then they say, okay, Your Honor, I'm there. And then if you've got some of the opposites, you're doing something wrong. How are we going to fix that? And we're going to fix it with Jesus, and there's a process we follow.
Wow, in case you've just tuned in, the time is 21 minutes after the hour 4, and Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at, that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And today we're giving you good people for a change. Where have you been, in case you've just tuned in? Do not touch that dial. That was Aiden's Kennel with Mary, Mary, Mary. Very appropriate song this afternoon, as we'll be actually touching into the message that Mary delivered to us in the last 2 months. But before we get to that, in case you've just tuned in, I'm chatting with Dr. Charles Pritchard, and today we're talking about demons, possession, and being oppressed spiritually. Before the break, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and also the gifts of the evil one. But I'd just like us to recap those, how we can diagnose.
Okay, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, fortitude, counsel, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And then if you look at the opposite will be confusion, imprudence, ignorance, fear, faint-heartedness, reckless judgment, spiritual blindness, godlessness, blasphemy, irreverence or indifference to God. And obviously all different variants to that. That's the gifts. And then the fruits of the Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity.
Mm.
And then obviously the opposites will be fruits of evil. I don't like to use the word fruits, but manifestations of evil.
Of evil, yeah. We can't call them fruits.
Like because depression.
They're not good at all.
So like hatred, bitterness, resentment, depression, anxiousness, impatience, quick temper,
mm-hmm.
nastiness, spitefulness, dishonesty, corruption, self-pity, anger, aggression, violence, infidelity, immodesty, vanity. The list goes on. Mm-hmm. Addictions.
Mm-hmm. Lust, why would you consider an addiction to be evil?
Well, if you're addicted to something, you don't have self-control over it.
Mm.
So one of the fruits of the spirit is self-control.
But so some like people look at addiction as an illness.
Okay, so you're taking, for example, like alcoholism or drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if it was an illness, you'd be able to take a medicine, a pill, and it would disappear.
I hear that.
Or you'd be able to have an operation or... So what it is, we're not born alcoholics, we're not born drug addicts. It's a spiritual weakness. So we've all got our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So what the evil does is it looks and it probes and it tries to see what's the weakness, where can get in. And if maybe your weakness is self-control, it'll work that.
Mm-hmm.
To get you into that alcoholic phase where, you know, the Lord was very clear. He says drunkenness is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
He says we mustn't get drunk. So we weren't created to be drunk.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So if we can't control our drinking now, that's sin. We bonded to that sin, the evil spirit associated with that sin.
So you become a slave.
You become a slave, yeah. Slave to evil.
In your work at the Alpha and Omega Ministries, what are some of the cases that you've dealt with of people that have been possessed, people that have been oppressed by evil?
Look, there's been, it's a very broad range, so from from addicts all the way to people wanting to commit suicide, to people that are just anxious, you know what I mean, or it varies, or very aggressive.
So how do you deal with me? I walk in and I have an addiction. Take me through the steps.
So basically, someone will walk in when they realize there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing they need. They must want to look for help. Mm. I mean, there must be a need to find solutions with God.
Mm.
So we talk about it, and usually what happens is there's a spiritual blockage somewhere.
Mm.
The two main ones are unconfessed sin or unforgiveness, or you're doing something that you're not aware is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you're going to fortune tellers and crystal balls and all those things that are going against the first commandment of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why you're always set, depressed and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we need to speak to the person, understand what the issues are, ask some questions about their family. Mm-hmm. Often also it comes in when you're a child. So, like, you've been in a harsh environment as a child.
Mm.
Let's say there's been parents have been quarreling.
Yeah.
And the little spirit of fear gets in the child.
Mm.
And then eventually it's anxiety. So there's a spirit of fear and anxiety. And then as time progresses, maybe they respond with anger.
Okay.
Or they respond, everyone responds differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start self-mutilating or whatever it is.
Mm.
You know, so different stuff. Even people with eating disorders.
Mm.
That's a spirit in them telling you, you're ugly. You're ugly, get thinner. Or do you understand what I'm saying? It's that little voice in you.
Yes, yes.
A lot of cases of in the psychiatric wards, people think it's physical. It's not. You know, like that bipolar or that... conflicting voices in your head, or they sometimes say schizophrenia. They say they hear the voices. Yes, those are the demons.
Mm.
As you get more possessed, they become quite clear in your head. You can actually hear them talking.
Mm.
We've had a case, an extreme case, where the person actually told me what they were saying, how they mock, how they comment about a person, how they. So it's like a bunch of evil. Think of it as a bunch of evil people just having a conversation in your head, trying to tell you, no, don't pray that prayer. You just don't go there, don't. And then people start obeying those voices, and then they get more and more chained to the darkness. Instead of having that going to God and looking to God, you know, we've always got that choice, but it's the wrong choices we make.
So darkness is a reality. Darkness is real.
Yes.
And darkness is something that most people can actually live in and possibly be not even aware that they are living in darkness.
100%. So we're all looking for that peace, calm, tranquility that God gives.
Mm.
And it's there. It's there for the taking. But most people are not obeying God's, all of his commandments. Therefore, they don't have it.
Do you think the solution is in obeying the commandments?
Yes, the solution is step number one is the will to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. That's the first thing.
Okay.
So if you're going to take 9 of the commandments and that one doesn't really apply to me, then you're never going to find God's love and peace mm-hmm. and calm.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time you want to do God's will is when you start want to love him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start loving him, and he'll start revealing himself to you, and there'll come a time when you actually start understanding that God is suffering, Jesus is suffering, he's got pain because of our sins, his sacred heart is pierced and all that, then you'll want to repent.
Mm.
You don't want to hurt him anymore. Then you take it to confession, and then the healing starts coming. Your soul starts getting scrubbed. Your mind starts to open up. Your understanding starts to enter you because the gifts of the Spirit are getting stronger. Gifts that you had all along, but they were blocked. The spirits of confusion were just blocking them.
So suddenly it's like they're activated.
Yes, and then it's, things are starting to make sense. And then you read the Bible and, wow, it's actually making sense. Mm. And like it's a journey. And then the Holy Spirit reminds you of a sin you did. And then you obediently take it to confession.
Mm.
And then eventually you start getting cleansed. And then you go and have the body of Christ worthily, knowing that it's the body of Christ as well. Then Jesus starts to enter you.
Mm.
He doesn't hurt him, because a lot of people have him unworthily. And it hurts him.
Mm.
Then he starts shining through you. Then the light comes in you, and then the evil gets terrified, and it's harder for it to come, and its voice gets softer.
Some of our listeners live with people that are possessed.
Yes.
Interact with people that are possessed and work with people that are possessed.
100%, yeah.
How can we start working around these things?
So the first thing you got to do is be like Christ. Okay, so what does Jesus say? Don't meet evil with evil. So if somebody's been nasty to you, be gentle and loving back and pray for the person.
Mm.
So that
the person who's always shooting your ideas in the meeting,
yes.
The person who doesn't see anything good you do.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yes. So we must carry the cross like Jesus did. He's the extreme. Always look at Jesus. What happened to him on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Mocking him, persecuting him. Ah, you the king, get off, yeah, make it, whatever. Mocking, hurting, physical, everything got together. That was the single biggest assault of evil on any human being.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father says we cannot comprehend the pain that his son went through and that he's still going through because of our sins. So Jesus has lightened our crosses. If somebody meets you with evil, you don't meet it back with evil, because then you're going to get chained to the evil.
Yeah, yeah. And you become part of that evil because you're playing into it.
That's it. And Jesus has told us how to react in these circumstances. And always look at him.
Mm.
When the Pharisees were giving a go at him, sometimes he just kept quiet.
But does prayer also help in these things?
Have to. Prayer is, so the next big, big mover is prayer.
Mm.
No prayer, no healing.
Mm.
So we have to start praying. We need to start talking to God. We need to start... talk to him like a child.
Mm.
Put your petitions down with him. And then what I would say is you must bring the rosary into it as well.
Mm. Mm. Why the rosary?
Because there is no greater intercessor to God than his Blessed Mother.
Okay.
To, you know, to Jesus. And to the Holy Spirit is the spouse of Mother Mary. So with her praying with you, it's very powerful.
Mm.
And Jesus and Mother Mary have said through all their messengers throughout the ages that the power of the rosary, it is the weapon.
Mm.
The devil hates the Hail Mary.
Mm.
He hates Mother Mary because he has no power over her, because he couldn't get her to sin.
Mm.
Yes, he couldn't get Jesus to sin. But he has a problem with the fact that he couldn't get one of his God's creations to sin, Mother Mary. And she is the Queen of Heaven, and she's immensely more powerful than him.
Wow. It's 24 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Vigils 576 a.m. is where you're at. It's that station that brings you the good news and the good music for a change. And it's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian. In case you've just tuned in, where have you been? Do not touch that dial. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Charles Pritchard, and this afternoon we're talking about possession, demons, and being oppressed spiritually. I'm going to open the lines, and I would like people to share with us their stories of possession, being oppressed, being struggling with demons. And it could be your experience, it could be somebody else's experience. Tell us your journey. How did you come from oppression to freedom to liberation and to actually breaking those chains? So the number to dial is 011-452-7115. Alternatively, you can SMS us your comments, your response, your reactions, and your take on 41809. We'd like to know, what's your reaction to that? As a Catholic, do you believe in demons? Do you believe in oppression? Do you believe in being possessed? What's been your experience been? And share with us, are you afraid? Are you one of those who doesn't even want to talk about it, and you are one of those that believes in the sweet Jesus concept? I was saying Mass in Eden Park this weekend, and I preached about what I call the sweet Jesus concept. And there's this concept that our Lord is so good, and besides the goodness, there's nothing other than that goodness in the world. And I think that's not entirely true. There is good in the world, but there is also bad.
Yes, yes. We were all created to be good. Mm. God created us to be good, but some don't want to be good.
Good afternoon. You're live on Radio Veritas.
Good afternoon, Father. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Akane speaking, Father.
Yeah, wow, Akane. Good to hear you. Talk to us, Akane. And happy
interesting conversation you're having in studio. I think I've joined the conversation a bit late, but, you know, one thing that I can definitely confirm, which your guest has mentioned, is especially that the devil really hates Mother Mary. Mm. I think a year ago I was in a situation where a friend of mine was possessed, if you would like to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, walking into the situation afraid, you know, being a Catholic, I was called in by this friend to say, listen, we need your prayers.
Yeah.
And I remember the, you know, saying the Hail Mary.
Yes.
And also the prayer of St. Michael, and how that aggravated the spirit that was in him.
Mm.
So much so that, I mean, he was throwing beds bigger, twice his size around. But
wow.
At the end of the day, I think we won that battle. Whether it's temporary or permanent, I don't know. Simply by the Hail Mary and Our Lady. I think from that day, the devotion has just been so much more serious from my end of
wow. things. So you dedicated yourself to Our Lady as a result of that, having overcome such tragedy, actually, if I may call that.
Yeah. I think I don't know if it was mentioned before, but the one thing I wanted to maybe bring up is to ask your guest, and maybe you, Father, as well. For normal Catholics that, you know, haven't been trained to pray these spirits away, how do we respond when, you know, our other Christian brothers and sisters call us and say, well, we need your help in this situation?
Wow. Thanks, Akane. Are you going to listen on your radio, or you'd like us to respond?
Yeah, I'll listen on the radio.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Akane, and have a good one. Eh?
Thanks, Father.
God bless. Dr. Charles, that's Akane, and he's asking us, I think the average Catholic person does not have any insight and any training in how to navigate around the issue we're talking about this afternoon. So here we are. You're told your neighbor is going through an attack, or your son is having a problem at school, or even your boss is having twins because of, or your boss just has this spirit that this person doesn't like me.
Okay. You know?
And he's saying, how do we navigate around that?
Okay, so in that gentleman's case, he did the right thing. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do if you're in a room with and there's this difficulty, just start praying.
Mm-hmm.
So you start praying. We normally start with an Our Father. We go into Hail Mary, Glory Bees.
Mm-hmm.
So that ruffles up the evil.
Mm-hmm.
Can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start, and when you're praying like the Hail Mary, Mother Mary is coming with the angels and saints, and with Saint Michael, you do the Saint Michael prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They all come in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes in the name of Jesus, because he is the one who his name is the name above all names.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do is you start commanding that spirit out in the name of Jesus. Now, in that case, if the person was delivered without you actually saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you, evil spirit of...
Yes.
hatred or aggression or whatever it is that comes, that the Holy Spirit leads you to say, or that's tormenting this person, you command it out. If you didn't do that, the Mother Mary and the angels and saints did it for you. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So when other Christians call you to pray, I think it's all Christians accept that Jesus, people get delivered from evil through the name of Jesus.
Of course,
A lot of them just don't use the power of the angels and saints.
Mm.
So that's really power. The difference. There is power in it. You call them and they help you. And they actually, Fernando, for example, she gets visions all the time when we're praying. In our prayer group, she sees them coming, and they come and they kneel down with us. We call Mother Teresa, she comes. You call all the
Fernanda has been visited by Mother Teresa.
Oh, she sees lots of visions while we're praying. And then usually there's a group of us. We all have different gifts. So the one has a gift of discernment.
Yeah,
we normally all have a bit of discernment. You know what to rebuke. The Holy Spirit tells you that it's a spirit of hatred, a spirit of lies, a spirit of whatever comes to mind, you know.
So what you're saying is, first of all, we should not be afraid when we find ourselves surrounded and in the midst of evil.
That's right. And we call Jesus.
Yes.
Just call him
in
your mind.
We should call Jesus and call him in spirit and in truth. And
that's
we
right.
say, in the name of Christ and by the power of Christ, then we can start waiting. Yes. Because if we do it ourselves, we actually lose the battle.
No, you got no chance on your own. So whenever I've been in a difficult situation and some like when it's someone's got a gun to your head, which happened a year and a half ago, straight away you just think of Jesus and you call Jesus and you start communicating with Jesus. He will tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you how to respond in that situation. Do I keep quiet? Do I have to be bold? Do I need to start rebuking? Whatever the situation is, he will take care of the situation. You don't need to think ahead.
It's 15 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you logged on to. It's the station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. In case you've just tuned in, we are chatting to Dr. Charles Pritchard. And this afternoon, we are looking at possession, demons, and being oppressed. I'd like us to talk about what we call generational curses. It's very big. It's very big, and people have heard that being thrown around quite loosely, and people talk about that's a generational curse. What's your understanding of a generational curse?
All right. So when we sin, we affect our future generations.
Explain that. Break down that.
So let's say we, we don't affect straight away, but it's. You're kind of prone to that sin. So let's take Adam and Eve, for example. They scarred human nature going forward because of their original sin. Jesus made it, God the Father made it very clear in the book of Exodus, I will, four generations, you'll either curse your four generations down or you'll bless. So if we're living a sinful life and we're bringing our children up in a sinful environment, they're going to become like you. And that sin will perpetuate. If you know what I'm saying. So we bring the curse upon ourselves. We can, and our future generations, we can either curse or we can bless. If we've got the attitude of divorce and anger and aggression in our home environment, the children are going to start picking up on that. They'll start thinking, okay, that is the right way to respond because daddy does it and mommy does it. Then eventually that spirit of anger or divorce or aggression or anxiety, whatever it is, will come into the kid as well.
So what you're saying is you have a family where dad is an alcoholic. In as much as it's a physiological disease, it has a spiritual dimension to that.
Yes.
So alcoholism runs in this family. What you're saying is if it's a family thing, it will obviously run within the family.
No. You see, you can also stop the curse.
How do we stop the curses?
By being like Christ. So being
how
loving.
Do we become like Christ?
So in if
because
I
know people
so let me give
who
you an
come
example.
From families where their marriages don't work.
Okay, so let me give you an example. I come from a family of where my father, and bless him, if he's listening, he knows. He was an alcoholic, He still says, I am an alcoholic, because you're very prone to that. And correctly so, when you do... If you do take that drink again, the evil is going to come and it's going to nail you seven times harder, because that's what it says scripturally. You clean your house, it's going to come back seven times worse. So an alcoholic who's recovered knows they must not have that drink. Okay? So how do you react with that? My mother, bless her heart, she's in heaven now. She reacted with love. She refused to walk away from the marriage, despite other people suggesting it.
Mm-hmm.
She got us on our knees every night to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed for, I don't know, probably 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually stopped. And he admits it was the prayers of the family. So she set that loving example. She carried the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We learned our lessons through her. She, when she died, it even planted a bigger seed because we realized what we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the positive effect on the whole family. So she has broken that curse.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But now if the mother reacted, it's, you alcoholic, I'm going to divorce
useless,
you.
Yeah.
You this. So they're both sides are sinning in their different nature of sin.
Mm-hmm.
The
and
kids are going to get affected badly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the chances of them coming out of it will be less. Having said that, I've come across families where siblings have been in the most harsh environments, but the one just ends up shining. How does he shine? He forgave long ago as a child.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that the person was sick and needed help, and he felt sorry for the person, and he prayed. You know what I mean? So that forgiving child ends up not having the issues of the other ones. He couldn't deal with the anger.
It's 10 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you logged on to, that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And it is Changing Gear with me, Father Brian, a.k.a. Ndabaningi. And we are talking about demons, possession, and generational curses. I'm going to be opening the lines and tell us about your experience of generational curses, demons, possession, and anything that has been very dark in your life. And I'm joined in studio with Dr. Charles Pritchard, and we're open to take any questions and share with us your experiences, your reactions to them, and who knows, you might be ministering to someone. The number to dial is 011-452-7115. Alternatively, SMS us on 41809. If you're stuck in traffic, take it easy, buckle up, and respect other road users. And please do not touch the dial.